How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth.
Hello, welcome to Flaunt, build your dreams and live your sparkle. I'm Laura Cheadle, and today we've got a wonderful guest on who is an artist, who is a spiritual coach and a teacher, and she's here to share with you kind of a wide variety of things that she does to help people connect to their spirituality, to help people in really a whole bunch of different ways. And I wanted to bring her on today so she could share her story and her journey, and so she can help you possibly find new ways for you to build your dreams, for you to live your sparkle, and for you to flaunt. So with that, welcome to the show, Kai.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Laura. It's an honor to be here. My name is Kai Gabriel, and my business name is Peacock Art, with an S, because there's different forms of art that I do. So basically, I've been an artist my whole life since I was a small child, and I always knew that that's how I wanted to live my life and make a living and express myself in the world. And I never knew how that was going to manifest because there's so many possibilities. And it turns out I've been guided through my spiritual path and my work and my background to blend spirituality with my artwork and my creativity.
I love that.
Yeah. So I do henna body art, which is one thing I do, which is obviously a very local thing because I can't do that
right
over the internet. But that's a body blessing, and it's an ancient art form from the East.
I didn't realize it was a blessing.
It is a body blessing. It actually started out as ceremony. Mm-hmm. So women getting married, people coming of age, even death, funerals. So in different cultures, they've used the henna designs to signify different passages in life. So it began ceremonial, and now it's just pretty.
Okay.
I mean, it still can be ceremonial, right, but people do it now just because it's so beautiful.
Right.
But when I do it, I do consider it a body blessing. And so when I'm doing it, I'm making sure that energetically I'm pouring, whether the client even knows I'm doing it or not,
right,
I'm just pouring that kind of energy into my work because I really believe in the power of that. So
I love that because same thing. I knew it was focused around ceremony, but I just thought it was, oh, it's a way to make you pretty.
Yeah. But well, it's both.
But I just love that blessing aspect of it. I love the body blessing of it
because
I think, you know, I do the whole body, mind, spirit stuff. And sometimes we get so not focused on the body because the body's temporary.
Right.
But we still live in it. And I love, let's bless it.
Right. And in our culture, we have so many body issues.
Yes.
Judgments. You know, I'm a very body positive person. I like to teach people to love their bodies regardless of size, shape, ability, et cetera. So so it's a way to also help people to just, like, celebrate their bodies.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
See, I've already learned something.
Right.
We're like 2 minutes in. And I'm like,
so that's one thing I do, and that's sort of seasonal in the summer, especially since we live here in Colorado where it snows a lot. People don't ask me a lot in the winter. But but what I do full-time is I make malas and teach people about making their own malas and using, just to clarify for those who don't know, malas are ancient also, from the East also.
Yes.
There's a theme here.
Yes.
And they are prayer beads that are usually hand-knotted in between each stone or bead. They can be wood or seeds or whatever. But the purpose of malas is to engage in spiritual practice. And a lot of people in the West wear malas, particularly in the yoga world. It's kind of become what I call part of the required uniform for any self-respecting yogi.
That is so true. That is true.
It is true. However, not everybody who wears a mala even knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a little bit fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I've run into people wearing them, and I've said, oh, my gosh, I love your mala. It's so beautiful. And, you know, and then they look at me, and they're like, oh, you mean my necklace? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
That would be a mala.
That's a mala. And, oh, do you meditate with that? And they're like, oh, no, I just wear it. And that's okay.
Right.
There's no judgment. But it's just fascinating to me how few people actually know what they're for and then go ahead and use them in their spiritual practice.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
So why don't you explain to listeners how people use a mala in their spiritual practice? I mean, because I'm thinking there's probably listeners out there who have hand-beaded necklaces or just beads, and they think, oh, maybe I have a mala, but what am I supposed to do with it anyway?
Right, right. So traditionally, malas are 108 beads,
mm-hmm.
The necklaces. The wrist malas, the bracelets are usually 27,
mm-hmm.
Because that's one quarter of 108. So on a bracelet, you'd go around four times to get your 108 prayers in. So on a mala, ideally, you're going to go around on each bead as you slide the beads through your fingers, and you're going to say a mantra, which mm-hmm. is an ancient word mm-hmm. or series of words mm-hmm. that is a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's in Sanskrit or Tibetan mm-hmm. if you're into Buddhism. Sometimes in the West, people aren't comfortable with the Sanskrit mantras because it's so foreign to them.
Right.
So I teach people that you can use words of affirmation if that resonates with you more.
I like that.
So on each bead, you might go around and say peace, mm-hmm. love, abundance, joy, harmony, love, and just to keep those positive vibes going
yes.
in your meditation.
Yes.
So it doesn't really matter what you say on each bead. What matters is that you're invoking positive spiritual energy.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So you would go around the mala one full time or more. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, sometimes I'll meditate and I'll end up going around about 10 times.
Right.
Because I'm not
you're
done.
Slow.
I'm not done yet.
Right.
So, but one cycle a day mm-hmm. is the minimum that I recommend. It's a very easy way to meditate. Meditation is very intimidating
yes.
to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. We think that it has to be this perfect setup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have to have the right cushion and the right music.
Exactly.
And I have great. I have to have my altar just right. And it has to be super quiet. And so people put all this pressure on making it perfect, and so they don't do it.
Yes. And, you know, I run into this a lot, too. I run into people who say, I can't empty my mind. I keep having thoughts. And I'm so often I tell people, if you really, truly quit thinking, you'd probably be dead.
Right. Or in a coma.
Right. It's okay to have thoughts. It doesn't mean you're a meditation failure.
Absolutely.
And having the mala,
it,
to me,
yes.
it's the tangible, and you are thinking,
yes.
and you're processing, so you hang on to it.
Right.
Because meditation, sure, it's still, but it's not still.
No.
It's active.
It's actually almost impossible to completely clear your mind.
Yes.
Because our mind is made to think.
Yes.
So it kind of goes yes. against our nature to stop all thought. It is possible, but it's very
it's
difficult.
Hard.
And if that's our end goal, well, of course, we're going to quit before we even make any progress.
Yes.
So, so as you said, it's more about finding the stillness in the midst of action,
yes.
in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the monkey mind that won't stop.
Right.
So the mala is actually super helpful because if you just sit and you have no tools
mm-hmm.
and you're just sitting there in a quiet room and maybe even you have some soft music on, well, that's a little bit more challenging.
Yes.
Because you're going to start thinking about your grocery list and what you're going to do as soon as you get up from your seat and what your kids need from you and all of those things. If you have the beads in your hand, first of all, you have the physical distraction of having something in your hand.
Absolutely.
And there's a kinesthetic process that's happening. That's the sense of touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're saying a word or a series of words or prayers or mantras on each bead, you're also occupying your mind.
Yes.
So now you just got rid of your two biggest distractions, your mm-hmm. mind and your physical body.
Right.
So if you're doing the mala beads, you're actually going to have a much more successful meditation than you are if you're just sitting there with nothing.
Absolutely. And also what I sometimes lose track of is time.
Yeah.
And if I'm having a hard meditation, if I don't have beads with me, well, have I been here a minute? Have I been here 5 minutes? Have I been here 30 minutes? Maybe I should check the clock, because what if I'm really in the flow and I don't know I'm in the flow and I've been here 30 minutes and I'm running late? Maybe I should go. But when you have the beads, you can go around and, hey, I've been around once.
Right.
That is approximately X number of minutes. Perfect.
Yeah, probably 5 minutes or so if you're saying something short on each bead.
Right.
Yeah, so I think, you know, and there's definitely something to it, because prayer beads have been used in almost every culture since ancient times.
Yes. Well, even the rosary.
Right.
The rosary is a mala.
Right, exactly. It's a little different, but, you know, they say a longer prayer on each bead. So I think a rosary probably takes a little longer to do, but not necessarily, because sometimes people are working with certain mantras or certain prayers that are pretty long, and that's when you're getting a little bit more in depth with, you know, your meditation practice. But for the average person who simply wants to unwind, get grounded, feel calm, and bring more peace into their life, which is, I think, basically what most of us want from our spiritual practice, it's actually really simple, and 5 to 10 minutes a day can make an enormous
huge difference.
And if you have a tool like a mala, it's so easy. You just grab it, you go around one time, and you can sit on your bed.
Right.
You can sit on your couch. You can sit in your car.
Yes.
You don't have to have this perfect setup to start your practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I keep telling people. Let go of this concept of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to look like the yogi in the magazine or the stereotypical picture of, you know, a monk sitting in the woods. That doesn't have to be your practice. You can start anywhere. You can meditate anywhere.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You'll appreciate this. I tell my clients a lot, because I've got a lot of clients who work full-time in corporate environments. There are bathrooms with stalls in them.
Mm-hmm.
Most often, those stalls will be empty, and you can go sit in there, and nobody knows that you're in there, first of all. Even if somebody walks in and walks out, they don't know who's in there, what's going on. If you need to stay in that stall and stretch, or do squats, or calf raises, or do your mala,
or breathe.
Take some deep breaths. Go into a bathroom.
Exactly.
And do it.
Exactly. And it's so funny you use that analogy, because when I'm teaching, because I teach mala workshops that teach people how to make their own mala and set intentions, and then really use that to ground in their intentions.
Oh, nice.
But I also use that example. I tell people when I'm saying, you know, you don't need a perfect spot to meditate. I say you could literally sit down on your bathroom floor next to your toilet in the dirtiest part of your house and have a perfectly good meditation.
Love it.
So let go of the perfection of it all.
Yes.
Let go.
Yes.
Because it's how I say, is it more perfect to meditate in an imperfect environment, or is it more perfect to skip it because you didn't have the right set of circumstances?
I love that.
Right?
Absolutely.
So you're probably making more progress if you're just willing to do it whenever, wherever.
Right. And you know what? We're in life, and life is imperfect.
Exactly.
We can have the perfect meditation when we're out of body. Until then, we're with what
we
got.
And some people who are really dedicated have set up the quote-unquote perfect practice.
Right.
But
and if that's what you need, no judgment.
Go for it.
Go for it.
But, you know, I would say 90% of the people who try meditation are really on the fly with it.
Right.
And that's okay.
That is totally
just keep
okay.
doing it. That's
right.
The goal. Keep doing it. Don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Yeah.
So how did you get into this mala work?
So I was actually raised in an Eastern spiritual practice that is Hindu-based.
Okay.
So my mom met an Indian guru when I was 2 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, right around the same time that the Beatles were, like, doing the whole Indian guru thing. So it was like she was a hippie and, you know, so when you see those images of the Beatles hanging out with Maharaji in India and stuff, that's how I was raised. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. So I was raised in and out of ashrams all over the world. And so my spiritual practices growing up were meditation, chanting, yoga, yoga before anyone even America even knew what yoga was.
Yeah.
And malas was a big part of that. I had my first mala when I was a very small child.
Okay.
It was just part of the whole thing. And then when I was younger, as a teenager, I got really into making jewelry.
Okay.
And so I started making jewelry and selling jewelry. I've always been entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
I would sell necklaces in my high school to my fellow students and stuff. And so I continued to make jewelry my whole life, and I had a jewelry business that was just more traditional jewelry.
Right.
And then I really started to embrace practicing once again with my mala, and I took a class from a woman who makes and sells malas here in town, and she's from Nepal, and she taught me how to make them in the style that I do now.
Oh.
And I fell in love with it immediately, and I was like, I have to keep doing this. And then because of my knowledge base of the cultural and spiritual traditions,
right,
she encouraged me to branch out on my own and go ahead and teach workshops. Because she couldn't keep up with all the people that wanted to learn from her.
Yes.
So with her blessing, as my mentor, she said, Kai, you're ready. You need to take us into
go
the world.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and I had never considered that before. Mm-hmm. So it was this very divinely guided situation where it took an outside entity bringing this idea to me, and I thought, you know, because within ourselves, we kind of go, well, what makes me qualified to do that?
Isn't that
And we question our gifts, and we question our abilities and what we have to offer the world. And so it kind of took someone else saying to me, you need to be doing this.
Right.
And I was like, really? And so I held a workshop at my house for some of my friends.
Perfect.
And I thought, oh, I'll just do it once and see what happens. And I've been doing it ever since. And that was, like, several years ago.
That's perfect.
And people always ask me, when's your next workshop? And I have students that have taken my workshop up to about 7, 8, 9 times.
Oh, I can see why.
Because every time they get something more out of it.
Right. And just as you were saying that, I was thinking, I want you to come over and do a workshop for my family.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would
love
that.
I was like, because they all need something. And
right.
To have something else to hang on to. And do we have malas? Sure, we have malas.
Yes.
Have that understanding.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how to use them. And we set intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So we very consciously, with each mala that we make, so each mala sort of has a purpose.
Yeah.
So today I'm working on, say, my prosperity and abundance consciousness, because I'm feeling a little bit stressed out about money.
Mm-hmm.
So that morning, I might grab the mala that I made with specific intentions
around that.
And so that I'm carrying that energy with me that day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do my meditation, that's the mala that I'm using, so that I'm really activating those intentions that I already infused in those beads.
Uh-huh.
And so it becomes a tool not only for meditation, but a beautiful reminder. If I wear it on my wrist and I look down throughout the day and I see it, it reminds me, oh, yes.
Right. But I'm working on confidence.
Yes.
I'm working on prosperity.
Yes.
I'm working on joy.
Right.
I'm working on...
Exactly. So whatever your intentions are. So people come to the workshops and multiple times, and so they end up setting different intentions with different malas, and so that they have a tool for each big area in their life that they're working on.
And they're different beads.
Yes.
I'd like you to go into that.
Absolutely.
With the different beads and the different energy in the beads. So it's not just you're remaking a black and white mala every single time.
Exactly.
They're all different because of the energy of all the different beads as well.
Yes. So I mostly use crystals and stones, and I use pretty high quality materials, and I have a whole huge catalog that when people register for my workshop, they get this catalog PDF, and the biggest complaint from people is, oh my gosh, there's too many choices. How do I pick? And so it's filled with these gorgeous gemstones. And with a description of each stone and what they represent. And of course, each crystal has so many different properties and things. I do narrow my description down to a brief thing. So I always tell people, when you get a mala that's a crystal mala or a stone mala, to do more research on it and learn more about the stone, because whatever description you're going to get is just the tip of the iceberg. But each stone carries different energies, as most of us know. And so I encourage people to choose the stone that they're going to work with for that session based on what's going to support them the most with their intention. And some people will ultimately choose whatever they think is the prettiest, which is
fine. Which is fine, too.
Because what I found is what you're drawn to is what you need.
Isn't that the truth?
So sometimes people will just, without even really looking at my catalog, they'll say, well, amethyst is my favorite stone, and so I already know that I want an amethyst mala. And I'll say, okay, great. And I'll bring it, and they all have a little tag that has the description, and then as soon as that person reads the description, they'll be like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed. And it happens all the time. So whatever you're really drawn to, trust that as well. That's what I tell people. Don't get too caught up in the meaning.
Now, do you mix stones on your malas, or how do you?
I do, not for my workshops. And I'll tell you why. Because if every student, so say I had a workshop, and sometimes my workshops are big, and I have 30 people in there. If all 30 people said, I want these five different stones, and I want them in this pattern, and it would be almost impossible to accommodate everybody's goals. So for the workshops, I say you just pick one stone, and we're going to do a solid mala. I do personally sell and design malas that are multiple stones. And I call those my maha malas. Maha means big or great in Sanskrit. So those are even more intentionally designed for specific ways of living. And I just designed a whole new series, or a line, if you will, of deity malas.
Oh, I love that.
And so each mala represents a different god or goddess from the Hindu tradition. So we have Shiva, Krishna, Lakshmi, Durga. There's eight different ones, and the stones are chosen to represent the same qualities that that god or goddess represents in the spiritual path. And they're very beautiful. And then I searched for perfect little deity charms for each mala, and I just simply could not find what I was looking for. So I ended up having them custom made in India by the brass artists that make the giant statues.
Oh, I bet they're gorgeous.
They are. So they're like these little mini statues god and goddess, and they're really quite stunning and very powerful.
I bet they are. Now, I'm just going to interject with this, because I get a lot of the questions because I do angel readings. And I'm sure listeners have that same question too. You don't have to be a specific religion to do this.
Absolutely not.
It's all intention.
Absolutely.
You can be
not.
Very Christian. You can be very Wiccan. You can be very Jewish. You can be very anything.
You can even be atheist.
Use
a mala.
Absolutely. And it's the same thing with angels. You don't have to subscribe to any tradition. It's just working with a beautiful, powerful energy. Whether you believe in it literally or figuratively or not. It's all open to everybody.
Exactly. And that's the other great thing about malas is that, or you can just call them prayer beads if that's more comfortable. They are present in almost every single tradition in the world. So it's a very universal practice. It's nothing specific to one religion. Islam has them. Judaism has them.
And like I said, the rosary is basically...
The rosary is the Christian version. They're all prayer beads. And some cultures have even used... not necessarily beads, but like the Native Americans, they found in different archaeological sites where they have the they'll do prayer ties. So they'll take like a long strand of leather or even animal sinew, and they'll tie knots in the strand, and then they'll use the knots like prayer beads. to go along and say their prayers. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's not beads, it still shows up in different cultures, which is kind of cool.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that makes sense, because you're right, it's the process.
Right, and so every culture has kind of figured out for thousands of years that praying or meditating with something that you can put your fingers on and slide through your fingers and touch and count your prayers and keeps you focused, keeps your energy where it needs to be, and makes for a more successful meditation experience.
It sure does.
So this is proven over the ages. This is nothing new.
No.
and I didn't make this up.
Right.
But I am encouraging people in the Western world to embrace this practice, because we are so disconnected in our culture from the practices of meditation and connecting with Mother Earth and getting grounded. Like, we just don't even know how to get grounded in our culture.
No, we don't.
So this is one of those simple, simple, easy, easy things that people can do every single day, and I guarantee people will start noticing a difference in their life.
Oh, I guarantee that too.
Yeah.
I will admit I'm not good at using a mala. I do other types of meditation as well.
Yeah, but that's great too.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the same thing, the days that I don't meditate are my scatterbrain days.
Oh, yeah.
The days that I say, I have way too much to do. There is no way I can take that time to meditate.
What is it? Gandhi said something like, "If you're having a good day, you meditate for 1 hour. If you're too busy, you meditate for two."
Yes, and that's when it's true. You have no hope if you're really that busy and not meditating.
Exactly.
It's so true.
It's and like I said, even 5-10 minutes. People get intimidated because they think they have to sit for an hour.
Right.
Just because Gandhi said an hour doesn't have to be an hour.
Right. No, 5 minutes is life changing.
Exactly.
3 minutes can be life changing.
Absolutely.
Depending on what's going on.
Absolutely. Even just connecting with your breath, even if you don't have your mala handy, I'm not saying you have to have a mala to meditate. Just when you start to feel yourself reeling and getting really wound up, and your energy, and you can almost always feel it in your chest because your body will tell you.
Yes.
You can literally, like you said, if you're at work, go to the bathroom.
Right.
Go into the supply closet and shut the door. Whatever it takes to just get a moment alone and connect with your breath and remind yourself that you're okay.
Right.
You're fine. You're grounded. Right. You're supported.
Right.
The universe is supporting you.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got this.
And I love even that you just said supply closet. I mean, because literally, you could go count pencils in a box five times over, and people are going to think you're doing something important, and you're saying, give me peace.
You
give
could be peace. Using the mala, the pencils like mala beans.
I
love that. Exactly. Go count erasers or something.
Right. That's, do whatever you've got around you to bring yourself back into focus.
Right, right. Yeah. And the malas are great because you can wear them like a piece of jewelry.
Yes. And they're beautiful.
So they are beautiful. They're really quite stunning. And I get so many compliments on my malas, and usually I like your necklace, or I love your bracelet, or
you.
Just kind of do this like wink wink, like, thank you. Like, it is a necklace and it is a bracelet, but it's like my little secret that it's so much more than that.
Oh, absolutely.
So
now, what about mala workshops online on Skype? Have you done
that? I am developing that right now.
Perfect.
And I am so excited about it. I just, my goal is to bring this practice to people where they don't have a lot of access to these types of things.
Yeah,
we're very fortunate in our community that we have an absolute saturation of spiritual events, workshops, classes, methodologies that we get to choose from.
Oh my goodness,
in between Denver and Boulder, it's just, there's so much available to us.
Mm-hmm.
There are people, however, that live in small towns, rural communities, maybe more conservative parts of the country, or maybe even other countries.
True.
Where they don't have access to, they don't have a mala teacher in their town.
No, not
they don't
at all.
Have, some of them don't even have yoga studios or places that get together to meditate or support one another spiritually. So I really feel passionately about bringing this practice to people who are really thirsty for something that's going to support them spiritually and they
yet
don't have access. So what I've done is I've always sold mala kits where you can just buy the whole kit to make your own mala at home.
Nice.
Mostly the people who have been buying my kits are my students who've already...
Oh, understand.
Right, because they've already taken the class. They already know how to make it. And so it's not intimidating. They can just do it.
Right.
If you've never made a mala before, however, you get the kit and you look at it and you go, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
So I just recorded my first series of videos, which is a huge stretch for me because I am an outgoing person, but I'm not a necessarily in the public eye
right
type of person. So I really did stretch myself, and it was a beautiful spiritual practice for me.
I bet.
To trust and to let that be guided and to say yes to the call.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had so many people say, when are you going to record your guided meditation? Because
right.
I do a beautiful guided meditation in the workshops to set those intentions that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty powerful meditation. And people have been saying to me, when are you going to record that? For about a year and a half now.
Right. And that's intimidating.
And I've kind of said, oh, sure, I'm working on that. Yeah, I'll get right on that. And
right.
And then my fear gets going, and I'm like, I don't really need to do that.
Right.
And so I've sort of been putting it off. And finally, the pull became so strong that I just said, okay, it's time. And
good.
So I recorded the guided meditation. I recorded a how-to videos, a series. So when you first get your kit, I walk you right through it.
Nice.
You open your kit, you pull it out, this is how you get started.
Right.
There's even a troubleshooting video for how to get knots out if you accidentally mess up one of your knots and
to
get it out. And you know, so I'm trying to design the online program in a way that is almost as good as having me in your living room.
Right, yeah, user-friendly.
Right, right. And I also wanted to have people come together to do this. And so the idea was somebody could host a mala making class in their house, invite their friends, and then use my video.
I love that.
They can order their kits online from me,
mm-hmm.
and then they can watch my videos. They can listen to the guided meditation and go through the entire process
together
and not even need me. I mean, I'll be in the room, but
right
on the computer.
I love that, though, because the community is such an important
mm-hmm.
aspect of things.
Yeah.
Whether it's meditation or even physical fitness.
Yes,
it's
absolutely
always better to have a community.
It is. It is. Because you feel supported and you can support one another.
Yes.
And as you and I met at a goddess circle.
We did.
Women supporting women.
Yes.
Which is so needed in our society right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
So
and men, too.
Yeah.
There's a big lack of support systems out there for men, especially men who are trying to dive into their spiritual path.
Mm-hmm. And not be stereotypically male.
Exactly. So there are some great men's groups out there, but they might not be available in every community. And men actually really enjoy making the malas as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do have more female clients than I do male clients, but the men who have come and really embraced it,
I'm sure they love it.
They love it.
Uh-huh.
They love it. They say, I normally would never sit down to make a piece of jewelry, quote unquote.
Exactly.
But I found this to be so meditative, and it really is. Like mm-hmm. making the mala is a meditation in and of itself.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah. So.
And again, it's putting out there that I intend to embrace my spiritual practice.
Yes. Yes, and every time we plant a seed of intention, mm-hmm. no matter what it is that our goal is, it's a very powerful thing to do.
It sure is.
The universe, spirit, however you want to call it, responds to that seed that's planted.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not be able to see
right.
the workings that are going on,
but it is.
But it's happening. As soon as you plant a seed in the soil, you don't watch it.
No.
You don't dig it up every day to see how well
What's
it's
happening?
Growing. Probably not a good idea.
No.
You just trust that right. whatever seed you've planted is going to, if it's an apple
sprout.
Seed, it'll make an apple tree. If it's a tomato seed, it'll make a tomato plant.
Right.
You trust that. And so when we plant our seeds of intention, whether we do it through making a mala or through a meditation or however we, or journaling or however
right.
we choose that, we just trust the seed's been planted. I'm trusting that it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then by doing those spiritual practices every day to reinforce it.
You're watering it.
Exactly.
You're nurturing it.
You're pulling
it.
The weeds.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. It's a very powerful practice and much needed in our culture.
It is. It is. And I love that you just mentioned that whole connection, because we are a disconnected culture.
Yeah.
And we think we're really connected on Facebook and LinkedIn. And in ways we are. But there is nothing like sitting face-to-face with people.
Yeah, gathering together. Mm-hmm. So my goal is with my new program, of course, I love being there in person. So
right.
if you're
you
local,
can't be everywhere.
If you're local and you want me to come do a workshop for your yoga studio, your women's group, your office,
mm-hmm.
your wedding, I've done wedding showers. I've
okay,
done bridal
that's a
showers.
Great idea.
I've done baby showers. I've done like all types of reasons that people want to come together and solidify these energies.
Mm-hmm.
I love being there and I love my work. I'd rather teach you how to make a mala than sell you a mala that I've already made.
Exactly.
I love doing both, but I absolutely love the teaching the most.
Right, and you need to understand the intention and how to use it, why
right.
you're using it.
Right, and that's why I created the video series. Anybody who wants to order a kit and make their own at home, what I'll do at this point is I have a private links on YouTube. You can't find it publicly, but if
yes.
you order the kit,
then
I'll send
people.
You an email with the private links to the video, the how-to videos.
That makes sense.
The meditation will be, there'll be a charge for a download, but I'm getting that set up too.
So. Perfect. Can you give your contact information?
Yeah, my website is Peacock Arts, A-R-T-S, jewelry.com or peacockartshenna.com. Either one is going to lead you to the same website.
Perfect.
And on my website, you can order the kits, and it's not up today.
No.
But within a week or so, I'll have the ability to send those links out,
Perfect.
You know, for anyone. And if you want to host your own mala making at your house and you want to get a group together, you can just email me, and that's Ky, mm-hmm. peacockarts@gmail.com. So you can email me and say, hey, we want to do this. We're in Nebraska, and we'd love to do a
right.
workshop. And, you know, and I'll send the catalog, and people can order their kits, and then I can send the videos, and I can even have a phone conversation with the hostess or the host.
That's true.
Prior to the event to just kind of give some guidance as
mm-hmm.
well.
So. Oh, exactly. And, you know, it's so nice with Skype and other platforms.
Yeah.
It does feel like you're there.
Yeah.
You can tune in and,
yes.
and answer questions
yeah.
in real time.
And my videos are very raw. They're mm-hmm. not overproduced.
Right.
I literally set up my phone right above my hands
and
so that you can see
go.
My hands doing the work. And
I love it.
It's exactly the way I would teach it in a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very me.
Yeah. Which is perfect.
Yeah. I'm not trying to put on a show. I'm just trying to teach people something valuable.
I love that. And you are.
Hopefully.
And you know, with henna and with the malas, you mentioned celebration boats.
Yeah.
And when you first said that you did a mala making workshop for a bridal party
mm-hmm.
or whatever, or a baby.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, there are so many celebrations in life, and I feel like we get caught up in the production of the celebration
mm-hmm.
and not for what the celebration really means.
Right.
And what a powerful thing to maybe have the bride and the groom Yeah. You know, working on Amala and their intention for a life together.
Right. And then they wear them at their wedding.
Yes. And for what that means.
Right.
Or for how you want to raise your kids.
Sure.
And during, because I was a stay-at-home mom for a lot of years, and two boys 22 months apart, it gets stressful. Really stressful.
Been there, sister.
Yes. And to be able to go back to that mala that you made of the shower,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and be like, I love, nurture, and support my children. I love, nurture, and support my children. I love, nurture, and support my children.
Sometimes, very desperately.
I really love it.
And sometimes we get to that point,
yes.
and we that's when we really need those tools and
yes.
those reminders that, you know, the things that keep us grounded and the things that remind us what our purpose is so that we don't get caught up in the stress.
Yeah.
Or the
bigger picture. You just need that bigger picture.
Yeah, there's a lot of overwhelm in
mm-hmm.
our lives, especially as women, I think.
I agree.
Especially mothers. And so it's a very powerful thing to do with each passing. Also on very significant spiritual milestones, such as solar eclipse coming up.
Yeah.
When there's a full moon eclipse, a very particularly powerful full moon, or astrological event that's happening, equinoxes, solstices,
yeah.
things like that, I will often make myself a new mala during times of significant change that are aligned with the stars and the earth.
I love that.
Because those are powerful times to regroup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're entering into a new season. So
yes.
I have
what
an opportunity.
Am I doing?
Yeah, and I have an opportunity to let go of some old stuff that maybe I was carrying through this last season
mm-hmm.
that I don't need anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the opportunity to call in those things that I want to see, you know, this fall or this winter or whatever
right.
is coming up for us. And so using those times of passage that are natural and aligned with nature to also kind of tune into those and set new intentions for our lives is
mm-hmm.
also really powerful.
And I love that too, because I use the full moon a lot too, just for other things.
Yep.
Because I get rolling on life
mm-hmm.
and I'm busy, and the moon will always remind me to stop. Where am I going?
Right.
Stop.
Right.
What's happening?
Right.
Stop.
It's a check-in.
It is a check-in.
Yeah.
And yes,
it's like the reset button.
It is.
You get to reset a little bit. You get to take a little brief analysis and kind of go, oh, okay, what can I let go of?
Yeah.
What do I want more of?
Yes.
And take the time to really be mindful about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because big celebrations in life are important, but we're not getting married, you know, every 3 months.
Hopefully.
Mostly. We're not having kids every 2 months.
No.
Hopefully.
Definitely,
you know,
not.
Those
right.
big celebrations, it seems like they're grouped together.
Yeah.
People graduate and they get married
right.
and they have kids and they have jobs, and then you're kind of on autopilot for X
yeah.
number of years.
Yeah. There's huge milestones that are dictated by life events.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the smaller milestones that are actually dictated by nature.
Yes.
And those are the ones that we tend to ignore.
Yes.
And that we probably should pay a little bit more of attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So these practices also kind of keep us remembering
yes.
those things. I also tell people, and this goes with it for any crystals, but because the malas are made of stones and crystals, I tell people to put their malas out in the full moonlight.
Love it.
To get cleansed
recharged.
And recharged.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually recommend cleansing malas frequently because they do absorb energies even from people around you
yes.
that you might not want their energy. So I actually cleanse my malas every day, but that's another story. But the full moon particularly is a time when I get a tray and I put all my malas and crystals on a tray and I just put them out overnight.
Which is, again, a ritual for you.
It is.
It's reminding you stop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a monthly reminder that, you know what, I can cleanse,
uh-huh.
I can let go,
uh-huh.
and I can recharge.
Yes.
Like, not just my crystals, but my body and my attitude and my focus.
Yes.
And where I'm going with my life.
Mm-hmm.
So
huge.
It is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, just love it. Now, what else do you do? Because you're busy.
Right. And so, I also do some fine art, and it's not on my website
mm-hmm.
at this time because none of it's really for sale right now. So, I might get there. I do commissions. but the ones I have in my house, I love too much to part with right now.
I understand that.
But I do also large wall art. I'm also a belly dancer, so I have another way that to me is another spiritual practice. So anything, and you're very connected to that with the physical, being a dancer yourself, and yoga, and your.
And I've done some belly.
Yeah.
So it moves the energy.
It does.
It's very
powerful. It's very feminine. Mm-hmm. It has a very strong divine feminine power to it.
It does.
And if you find the right group of women to dance with, which I'm fortunate to have found a wonderful group, it's also that sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another way to be spiritually supported. And it's important to have practices that are physical that can ground you in your body.
Absolutely.
We get so mental in our society. It's like we need to ground into our bodies, whether it's yoga or dance or running or swimming or whatever it is that we do. So
yes.
Belly dance is my preferred method of
feeling your body.
Yeah, and connecting with sisters and feeling mm-hmm. strong in my body. So I do that. I'm a mom
mm-hmm.
of two beautiful children that are almost grown. I have one grown and one almost grown.
Okay.
So I'm on that cusp of a new adventure in my life,
mm-hmm.
which is really exciting. I'm hoping to take my spiritual work out into the broader world, starting to lead a few retreats.
Oh, good.
So I'm participating in a retreat to Mexico in April, where I'm teaching a mala making workshop at the retreat, and there's going to be yoga and meditation and kirtan chanting on the beach every day, and it's in April. That's also on my website under my workshop section.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah. So I'm starting to co-lead some retreats with other powerful spiritual leaders in the community, and eventually hope to lead some of my own, both local and international.
Yes. And I love that you said you're co-leading, because, again, when I do workshops, it's not that I don't like doing them myself, but that sisterhood again.
Yes.
It's that I can offer this and you can offer that, and together we create so much more.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful. And people learn differently from different people.
So true.
So, you know, if you have two or three different women leading something,
mm-hmm.
or men, whatever,
right.
you know, you're going to get different energies from each person. And so the collaboration is really...
It's huge.
It serves people.
Yeah.
Really
and
well.
Like you had said earlier, you and I met during a goddess circle.
Yes.
And just the listeners who don't really know what that is, I mean, it can pretty much be anything that you make it.
Right. True.
But the whole point of that is just connecting in sisterhood.
Absolutely.
And it's just telling your story, whatever your story is.
Yeah.
And your story can be celebratory. It can be painful. It can be confused. It can be clear. It can be anything.
Yeah.
And it's just hearing other people's stories, because different parts of stories resonate with all of us.
Yes.
And we've all been there, or we will be there.
Right. Right. And so being able to sort of harvest wisdom
mm-hmm.
from a variety of different sources
is huge.
And I also believe that when you choose to participate in things like workshops and retreats and goddess circles and things like that, a lot of people hesitate to dive into those sorts of things because either, oh, I'm not really sure, that sounds like a bunch of weirdos, or I don't know, like, or I don't want to spend the money on that because I don't know what I'm going to get out of it.
True.
Or whatever is, again, it's sort of trusting. It's that, again, planting a seed and trusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you invest in a retreat or a workshop or something, or a meditation class or whatever it is, yoga classes, whatever it is, and then trusting that me paying for that is planting a seed.
It is.
And I am just going to trust that fruit is going to come of this.
Right. And it might not be the fruit that you necessarily thought was
exactly.
coming from it.
Exactly. You have to let go of your attachment to the outcome.
Yes.
I've been very pleasantly surprised at times when I've done different workshops, and then I've done a ton of workshops and retreats. And, you know, there have been times where I've even gone into some retreats a little bit jaded, because I've been doing this my whole life. And so there are times where I get a little jaded and I'm like, okay, yeah, I've done that 100 times.
Great, we're gonna
whatever.
Do it again.
You know, yeah. And then I go and I'm like blown away. That
yes.
some huge breakthrough happened or somebody said something that completely shifted the way I was looking at something in my life,
mm-hmm.
which then shifted the energy, which then shifted the circumstances. And so, you know, just going on these journeys with an open heart and an open mind and trusting that you're going to get
mm-hmm.
what you need to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it might not look like what you thought it would look
right.
like.
I love that you said that because I do yoga and I do a lot of work with the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm a chakra expert. I know everything about the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I was looking at an online class and I kind of rolled my eyes. I mean, same thing, that
yeah.
whole Jada's concept.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, great, she's going to teach me about the chakras.
Right.
And I clicked on her little intro video. In her 3-minute intro video, probably her second sentence in, she said something that I had, it just clarified it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it, but the way she said it shifted the way I thought about the chakra energy in terms of manifestation. Because she was talking about we're clearing our chakras and the energy we put out is the energy we receive. And I thought, well, duh. But the way she said it
right.
hit me differently.
Yeah.
And I thought, I see that differently
yeah.
now.
Sometimes we can hear something 100 different times and we just needed to hear it a different way.
Yes. And
before.
I thought, well, there mm-hmm. you go. I'm buying this class.
Exactly.
Because it's worth it.
Right.
Money.
Right. And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, we do tend to get jaded a little bit in our spiritual path and we think we already know everything.
Right.
Oh, I already know that. Oh, I read a book about that. I already know
right.
that.
I know about the chakras.
Right. But,
I can manage.
Right. Exactly. But it's also that connection that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Coming together as a group, coming together with friends, family, sisters, people who are supportive of the path that you're on and that you mm-hmm. can also support them. Is so huge and so necessary, and that's why these events and these retreats and not hiding out on our own
yeah.
and thinking that we have to carry all of this on our own.
Yeah.
Because there is help out there, and even if you are somewhat isolated and you live in a place where you don't have a lot of opportunities
mm-hmm.
to connect with like-minded people, we are so blessed with the internet. We are so blessed
yes.
with that. So I encourage everyone to just connect in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so important.
Oh, it's so important.
Yeah.
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 So important. And I don't know about you, but other people's stories just, they stay with me. And then
yeah.
even though I'm not necessarily praying about them or thinking about them, I am processing their story in my
right.
head,
and right.
that energy is going to them as well.
Yeah.
And just when you share your story, same thing, other people are thinking about you.
Right.
And processing.
Right.
And it helps us
yeah.
well.
Yeah, especially when there are challenges, and it helps us to be more compassionate and empathetic and supportive of each other and drop the judgment and drop the holier-than-thou stuff that we tend to carry with our egos.
Yes.
Because our higher selves know better.
Oh, right.
Our higher selves know how to be compassionate, and sometimes we just have to sit and be present with someone else's story, like you said, or someone
yeah.
else's experience, and then when we can be compassionate towards someone else, then we can learn to be compassionate towards ourselves.
With ourselves.
Because
exactly.
that's the hardest part, is to treat ourselves
yes.
with that same kindness and that same non-judgment and that same forgiveness
mm-hmm.
that we're pretty easily give away to other people.
Oh, we do.
We need to learn to turn that on ourselves and really embrace that
mm-hmm.
because that's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gathering together and listening, even if it's online, listening to other people's stories, taking an online class,
yes.
engaging in an online community, joining a Facebook group that is supportive of the things that we're
yeah,
going
the growth.
Through, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like that. I see a whole mala around that.
Yeah.
You know, a whole mala towards compassion towards yourself.
I actually do have a compassion mala.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, most of us see that.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Exactly.
So, and a lot of those malas are actually up on my website right now.
Oh, good. So
yeah.
people can just kind of go through and...
Yeah, absolutely.
And one more time, give
yeah.
that address.
Okay, so it's www.pmala.com. peacockartsjewelry.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, I was trying to get just Peacock Arts, but yeah, it was taken and they wanted way too much for it. So.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, we can add jewelry on the end. That's fine.
That works.
Or henna.
Yeah.
That
right.
works too. So, I would really encourage people to reach out if there's any way that I can support, especially remotely. If you live in
yes.
a place where you don't have access to this and you would like to invite in my energy to help support you or your community or a group, I would be more than honored to be a part of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, if people have a group, that's great. But if somebody just wants to reach out on their own,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes doing things on our own is also really powerful. I think there is a time to do things alone. I mean, there are times where I do private ceremony.
Yeah.
Where I'll set a new intention for myself and I'll make a new mala for myself. And I don't even tell anyone about it.
Right.
I just do it all on my own. I don't put it on Facebook. I don't take pictures of it. I just do it for me.
For you.
And sometimes when we hold that private and we hold that sacred in our own hearts and we don't share it with someone,
yeah.
there's a power in that too.
Yes.
Because it's like
oh
our
my gosh,
own
yes.
special thing and we're not allowing other people's judgment or their energy. So we have to be careful whose energy we allow.
I'm so glad you said that because, yes, isn't that the truth? Sometimes we're empowered, we're excited, and we tell somebody else what we're doing, and they say, well, don't get your hopes up, dear.
Right.
And you think.
Or they say, you can't do that.
Right. It's just like.
That's not going to be successful. Or,
right.
Right. So sometimes it is good to guard your intentions and to keep them safe and secure.
Mm-hmm.
Being careful who you choose to share that with.
Right.
And that's why having like a goddess circle or a women's circle or a men's circle or a group that you trust, a group that feels supportive,
yes.
then you can share with those people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have people who are constantly negative and naysayers and trying to knock you down,
uh-huh.
don't share with them.
No. And sometimes people do it out of love because,
right.
you know, especially we talked about being a mom or being a friend, we don't want our kids to get hurt. We don't
right.
want our friends to get hurt. So we'll say, set the bar lower.
Right. We're protecting them. We think we're protecting them.
Right. But we're not.
No. So we have to remember to support each other also in a very positive way.
Yes.
So when someone comes and shares with you
mm-hmm.
a big dream or an intention or a goal,
go
watch,
for it.
And watch yourself. Watch your reaction and make sure that your reaction is positive and uplifting.
Yes. And sometimes that's a whole mirror, too.
Yes.
Sometimes when you're sharing with somebody a big dream, a big goal, the reason they're negative, it can be to protect you, but sometimes it also it's that mirror and they realize, I haven't gone for it either.
Right. Or they have so much self-doubt around their own dreams that they're projecting that onto you.
Yeah. So it's not always about you?
No, it's not.
It's usually not.
No, and you have to trust yourself. Even if you do have people who are negative and naysayers in your life, that's why we do these spiritual practices. That's
Absolutely.
Why we sit down with our mala and we meditate every single day.
Yeah.
Because we reinforce that within us, and then it doesn't matter what anyone else says.
Because you know the truth.
It doesn't matter. Even the positive doesn't matter.
True.
It's great to have that positive reinforcement. But it's not that person's positive reinforcement that's going to bring your intention to fruition.
I love that you said that, Kai, because you're right. Release the negative, but release the positive,
right.
too.
Right.
It's about you.
It's about you and your intentions, your energy, and what you're willing to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
I
thank
really
you.
Cannot wait for listeners to reach out to you.
I don't know if there's time, but I actually brought a gift for you.
Oh,
and I brought you
so
a mala.
Much.
I won't share, but it's based on something that you shared in your in our goddess circle.
Oh, now I am going to cry.
That's okay. You're allowed to cry. And so this, I hope, will support the intention that you shared with the goddess circle.
Oh, thank you.
And I did make it myself. So this is green moss opal.
Oh, my gosh. It is. Beautiful.
And it's it's the prosperity mala.
Oh.
And without giving anything away, Laura has a new venture that's coming up, and so I wanted to give this to her to support that new venture.
Oh, these beads feel so good.
So thanks for having me. I'm very grateful.
You guys all have a fantastic week, and as usual, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.